Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation 18, verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour as thy judgment comes." This seems exciting, so here we go. We're going to turn the time over to Rocky now.
Good morning. I'm praying that this message will encourage you. At the same time, let me say this. I think that it's time the Seventh-day Adventist Church preached the truth about the coming of Jesus and how soon we are from here to eternity. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. What I'm going to talk about this morning is what I'm going to call part one. Last night, I started putting together already a second part of this, which I don't know if I'll be able to preach it before I go back, but the second part will be entitled, "What Does a Fire-Breathing Dragon, a Convert-Buying Beast, and a Last-Day Lying Prophet Have to Do with the Times We're Living In?" Sounds interesting. Well, it's going to be. All right, what I want to talk to you today about is the fall of Babylon. Dr. George Knight was talking not too long ago about how he was in the former Soviet Union, and while he was there speaking at different churches and convocations, the Soviet Union fell. In 1 hour, thy wrath has come. In 1 hour, judgment falls. All right, I want to go through these scriptures with you. The first one is Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. "The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who've received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for what?" Say it with me, please. 1 hour, as kings with a beast. Political and religious alliance. I'm not going to cover that as much today, but I'm laying a groundwork here. This is not a feel-good message. It is a Bible sermon. Secondly, Revelation 18:10, we read it, "Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for what? In 1 hour, your judgment has come." And Revelation 18:17 and 20, "For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster..." Here's the economy of this world. At the end of time, this economy is going to fold. Boy, I want you to wake up with me. It's been a while since I preached here. Okay, listen to this. "In 1 hour, every shipmaster," in other words, those who ply their wares on the seas, "cried out and saw smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city?" Verse 19 and 20. "They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, Alas, that great city." This is a funeral dirge, by the way. When John wrote this, this was a funeral dirge. "Alas, alas, the funeral is here. The great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in what?" Say it with me. 1 hour, she is made desolate. And then verse 20. "Rejoice over her, O heaven. And you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Again, Dr. George Knight wrote the book called An Apocalyptic Vision and the Neutering of Adventism. I don't know if you know what neutering is, but it's something that takes place whereby you are not able to reproduce. Are you with me? You're neutered. You can't reproduce. Here's what Knight says. He believes there is a direct correlation between the shrinkage of the church in North America and other world sectors of the church, including those who are white, black, Asian, and Hispanic. Part of the problem, don't miss this, is that Adventism has to a large extent lost the apocalyptic foundation of its message. Dr. Knight said he was addressing doctors and educated people in this big seminar. And after he was done, a doctor walked up and he said, "I don't want to hear about beasts and those kind of things. I want to hear the gospel. I don't want to hear about those kind of things." And Knight said he shared with him the need for the church to understand what the Bible has to say about these times. You think that's true? I was sitting at a table with Amanda and Mariah a few years ago. I believe it was the fellowship hall here. I don't know if you remember. And I was talking with them about what the church needs for youth. And my statement was, I do not believe the church needs more effective music, more upbeat kind of feel-good sermons. What the church needs is to know where we are and how far we are from the kingdom of God. You remember that? They said that. They said, oh, Pastor Gill, young people don't leave the church because of the music or anything else. They need to know what they believe. Knight continues, have we lost the sense of who we are as a church? Do young people leave the church because it's not user-friendly? Or could it be they do not hear enough of the message to really know what they believe? Have you ever been in a situation where someone asked you about your faith and you actually said to yourself, I don't know what to say because I don't have the answer? I'm afraid for the church. Go out there, visit a few churches. I'm not judgmental. This is not me. I want you to hear it from God. When the Lord looks at the church today, there are segments in the church that Jesus says, make me sick to my stomach. I want to vomit. Is that what he says? Yes. Have I offered some things to God that God says, you make me sick. It's time you walk the walk and not talk the talk. It's not because it's not user-friendly. It's because they don't know the truth. My message has to do with the close of probation. For us as individuals and for the world, the last message of warning for this world has a time-sensitive element. When the Lord closes this world's probation, his wrath will be poured out and Babylon will experience the poured out wrath of God. I've got to read this to you. Christ's Object Lessons 4:12 through 4:14. You're going to want to memorize this. In a crisis, character is revealed when the earnest voice proclaimeth at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Let me stop for a moment. There were how many virgins? How many were sleeping? How many were sleeping? All of them were sleeping. But somebody was awake who gave the loud cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Jesus didn't. It was those that are awake, the 11th virgin in the church. Now listen. And the sleeping virgins were roused from their slumbers. It was seen who had made, what's the next word for me, please? Preparation for the event. Both parties were taken unawares, but one was prepared for the emergency and the other was found without preparation. So now, this is what you need to hang on to. So now, a sudden and unlooked-for calamity, something that brings the soul face to face with death, will show whether there is any real faith in the promises of God. Sudden, unlooked-for calamity. One of these mornings, like the former Soviet Union crumbling in 1 hour, one of these days, you're going to awaken to a changed world. A sudden, unlooked-for calamity. I've been studying the seven trumpets for a long time now. And if given the time, I'll share it with you in the future. My brothers and sisters, we are at the end of this world. I want you to know that. You can do better than that. Seventh-day Adventist Church is a church that believes that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. We're going home to victory. Yes. We're going to live with Jesus forever. So now a sudden unlooked-for calamity. What kind of a calamity? I don't know. Unlooked-for. Something that brings a soul face-to-face with death. It will show whether the soul is sustained by what? Grace. The great final test comes toward the close of probation when it will be too late for the soul's need to be supplied. Revelation 15:1, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. How many angels? Having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is what? That's the completed wrath of God. Well, what about now? What about all these generations that have fallen asleep? The plagues have not been poured out. In fact, no generation has seen or will see what the final generation is going to see. Oh, I want to be there. I want to be there. I do. I want to be there. And it's the completed wrath of God. So what characterizes the wrath of God right now? This is what you're going to want to listen carefully. Turn to Romans chapter 1. One of the greatest books on the everlasting gospel is Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 and 17. Some of this I'm going to supply you, and others I'm going to ask you to open the Bible. Don't you love to open the Bible? Amen. To let the pages of God's holy word talk to your heart. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the power of the gospel, it, the gospel, the righteousness of God, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for Paul. This included everyone. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, how do they become just? He that is righteous by faith shall live by faith. What does that mean? That means that God declares me forgiven. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? And then through that faith relationship of what he does for me, he now works in me, and I live by faith. Justified by faith, sanctified by faith. After highlighting the gospel of Christ, Paul seeks to show his reader what happens when you reject the everlasting gospel. For the wrath of God is revealed. When you reject the only way a person can be saved, you're left with the wrath of God. And this is Paul's favorite theme, was the everlasting gospel, and he included as well the wrath of God. You have your Bible right there. Look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against, well, we just read Revelation 15:1, the wrath of God is complete. Well, here's the wrath of God. Listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against who? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I want you to follow me now and take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not what? In the Greek, you know what the Bible says? Not even one, no. Not one. There's no one who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. Their throat is an open tomb, verse 13. In their tongues they have practiced deceit. Please, brothers and sisters, do not talk about each other behind their back. Do not be a gossiper. Is that true? Live for Jesus Christ. Live the gospel in your life. Look at now verse 20 of Romans chapter 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be what? Justified in his sight, for by the law is a knowledge of sin. I want you to catch this. God does not do away with the law of God, but the law of God can save you. I'm setting up something for you to see here. God gives this amazing grace, but if you reject that grace, the wrath of God is poured out. Verse 20, that was really powerful. In his sight, for by the law is a knowledge of sin. The next one, verse 21 through 24. I want you to catch this. I just want to lay this foundation so you know that Elder Gale is not preaching legalism. But I'll tell you one thing right now. The one that God saves, he transforms. I'm not the same anymore. Because if you talk about somebody behind their back, you got to go back and see them. Oh, yeah, you have to. If you have aught against your brother, leave your gift at the altar. You've got to go back, right? Romans 3:21, listen to this. As I clarify this a little more, Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the Old Testament, the law, first five books of the Bible, and the prophets. To the law and the testimony, they speak not according to them. It's because what? There is no light in them. Are you with me? Now, verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Why? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us here today is a sinner. Some look a little more respectable than others. I went with Brother Cal Moore this past week. He had a surgery done to his eye. His eyesight has been really bad in his right eye. And I know Larry has gone through some things, my brother. I love you, Larry, and I'm praying for you. Well, when I thought about this whole thing, the law of God, witnessed by the law and prophets, all have sinned. Cal and I were talking about our own lives. Brothers and sisters, if I ever hurt you in Christ, forgive me. Amen. Let's see the next verse. All have sinned. Nobody. We're in the same boat. So don't be drilling a hole in the bottom of the boat. We'll all sink. Are you with me? Now listen to this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we are bought, we are saved, we are transformed by the blood of a precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful we love Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if you reject all that God has done, that's sad. Listen to Paul in Romans 4, 5, but to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. God justifies the ungodly? Yes, he does. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would have what? Everlasting life. I don't know how godly you feel. I haven't felt all that godly. The more I read scripture, you know how I feel? Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel 36 just for a moment. I wasn't going to share this, but I think I will. Ezekiel chapter 36, please follow me and turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Oh, you've got to see this. This is a scripture you need to memorize as well. You have it there? Ezekiel chapter 36. And then when you read verse 26, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you what? A new heart. Do you need a new heart? All right. I'm setting the stage now for the wrath of God being revealed in this world right now. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit. I will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you, listen to that, to walk in my statutes. I will cause you. God says, I'm going to so transform your life that you are going to serve me. The flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, so you cannot do what you ought. You know what Paul meant by that? When you're a born-again believer, you cannot, you will not hurt Jesus Christ. You will not. Now look down here at verse 31. You're born again, you have a new heart, and then you remember your life. Listen to this. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe what? Yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. You know what the Bible's saying there? You look back on your life and you're going to say, why in the world did I do that and hurt Jesus? Why? You know, when you look back at your life and the many times that you fell in the ditch and God pulled you out, you look at that and you say to yourself, I loathe myself for the sin of my life. Romans 4, 5, he justifies the ungodly. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, we know that the law is good if one uses the law lawfully. Have we ever as a church used the law of God to beat people up? Have we? Come on now, you can be honest here. Have we? Well, you know what the Bible says. It's Sabbath and you are not to put your feet in the water. We're going to walk by the ocean. But you are not to put your feet in the water. My son one time asked me, why is that, Dad? Why is that? God created the water. We have, oh, my brothers and sisters, in the light of the gospel, we really need help. How many of you say, man, we do? Okay. Mrs. White was asked how the three angels' messages related to justification. Here's her response. Justification is the third angel's message in verity. Here are they to keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, justification by faith. Romans 3:10 and Psalm 14:1-3, we read again that there's none good but God. And the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. We're in the same boat. We are. This gospel we preach is the same gospel Paul preached, John preached, and Jesus taught. I am the way, he said, the truth, and I am the life. I'm going to list four stages. Take a pencil out and write this down. I'm going to give you the steps that lead up to our fall. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, we read, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and hold it down. That is the first step in devolution, evolution. First step in the fall away from God. Write the word intelligence down in your notes. Intelligence. The first step. What do? You hold the truth down. You're with a few friends and you begin to talk about God. And one of your friends says something and you agree with him. And then you begin to notice that the power of the gospel is not making an impact in your life the way it used to. You're holding the truth down. suppressing it. That's what the Greek says. You have your hand on the truth, but in reality, if the truth is the everlasting gospel, I have my foot on Jesus. I'm pushing Jesus down. Intelligence, that's the first step. You suppress the truth. It's directed to those who deny or hold down the power of the gospel. And when you hold down the gospel, you are denying the only means of your salvation in both teaching and living, and you are rejecting God's own Son and substituting something in place of Christ. Number two, ignorance. Write it down. Let's read it. Romans 1, 21 to 23. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were what? They weren't even thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Listen to this. Holding down God leads to a darkened mind. Their thoughts are darkened. Foolish hearts are darkened. And professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. What I'm going to say in a moment, I will not be able to say in front of a church if the devil has his way. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. They knew God. They knew him, but they didn't glorify him. They wanted the sweet message, but they didn't want to follow him. If you hold down the truths of God, after a while, you push him right out of your life, and you replace God with the God of your own making. You make your own God. This is why it says in manuscript 82, the character will not be changed by death and the resurrection. You will come up from the grave with the same disposition you manifested in your home and in society. Listen to this. Jesus does not change our character at his coming. When my dad comes up, he's going to say, boy, Rocky, you remember Ellen White talked about these times. You know what the Bible said. I can hear Dad now. All the Bible studies we had. He's going to come forth from the grave. Mama was a lover of people. I was with my mother when she died. It was on a Sunday, 9/10/2006, and I was sitting by her bedside, and I said, Mama, who's going to pray for me? She began to mumble a prayer. She stopped, and then she pulled my hand. It's your time to pray. And I prayed for her, and so help me, Lord. I looked, my mother's blue eyes did not look at Rocky Gale. They looked all around me, and she said, oh, her eyes were sparkling. I said, Mama, you don't see me, you see angels. Are you with me? Mama fell asleep. I'll tell you what, she's going to come forth from the grave with the same disposition. If I die today, I want to die going up. You know how it is when you're in an elevator? I was one time in Phoenix at a children's hospital. We got in, the elevator jerked, and everybody fell down in the elevator, and leave it to Rocky. I said, well, at least we fell going up. Indulgence. Number three. Oh, wait, let me give you the process here. Number one, they do not glorify God. Number two, they thought and told others how wise they were without God. Have you ever heard of Bill Maher? He's on HBO. Have you ever heard him advertised? Hates Christianity. He says that Christians are weak. They need something he doesn't need. Is he in for an awakening? Number three, they exchanged the glory of God and exalted an image leading to idolatry. Now listen to this. Indulgence, the third one, write it down in your notes. Indulgence, and I want you to catch this. We're talking about the process of the close of probation, and I'm going to show you that this same process happened in Daniel 5. Therefore, God gave them what? Up. He gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up, talking about indulgence now, to vile passions. Oh, this is, you can't preach this in Canada now, you know. You cannot do that. It's called a hate crime. We're not going to be able to preach the truth. It's a hate crime. You're intolerant. You know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Please stay away. Don't doze off or I'll come by and bump you. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. The wrath of God, God gives them over. They turned from idolatry to immorality. Paul in Romans 1:24 tells us God gave them up to self-indulgence and idolatry. Those claiming to be wise dishonored God in their own bodies. Instead of worshiping and serving the Lord, they exchanged this worship of God for the worship of the creature rather than the Creator. There is a hole inside of you and me that has to be filled. And when you push the Lord aside, you will substitute another filler. And when we do this, we have God saying what he's not saying. For instance, God loves us all. I was with a group of people and we were talking about homosexuality. Let's be honest. Are you with me? All right, listen to this. We were talking and you know what he said? This is the preacher of the gospel. He said, well, you know, we're all different and God loves us all. The people that I hang around with, some of them very close to me are homosexuals. I said, I'm not condemning people. I'm condemning a lifestyle. Okay? And I told him, what do you think? 1 Corinthians 4:5, Paul says that a homosexual behavior will not take you to heaven. You will not be there. How in the world did we end up where if you do not follow along with people, you're not loving, you're not kind, you're intolerant? How in the world did we get there? Listen to this carefully. I need to move along. I don't want to keep you all day. The world is corrupted and vile, breaking the laws of God in two ways. First, there's a temptation. Oh, this is good. The Holy Spirit gave me this one night. There's a temptation to change the law of God with respect to the Sabbath, the order of creation. Now watch this. Now there's an attempt to change the God of the law, creation's order, male and female. Are you getting what I'm saying today? We are living at the end of this world, and Christ is soon to come. And I'm going to tell you something. If we are locked in our sins, whether it's homosexuality or adultery, you're separating yourself from the living God. Is it not a picture of this world today? Anyone who preaches this truth is labeled. Listen to Romans 1:32. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Oh, my, my. Not only do the same, but those who approve, those who practice them. Is that right out of today's newspaper? What do we have a whole world saying? They're reinforcing that behavior. A close friend of mine one day, he said, I've got a soulmate. And I said, what's that? He's a doctor of theology. And he said, well, you know, I've met her. She plays piano at a big church and I love her. And I said, well, you're married to Joel. He said, well, yeah, but this is my soulmate. I said, well, you want to get your soulmate and go to hell? I said, you got one daughter, her name is Joy. Are you going to surrender your lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and a pride of life for your daughter to be lost? You know what he did? He said, well, what do you think I should do? I said, you're the one with the doctor of theology. You get on the phone and you call that gal and say you can never see her again. Boy, that's unpopular, I know. All right, here the fall starts with intelligence. Fall of Babylon. 1 hour, judgment comes. It starts with intelligence. Man knew God, suppressed the truth. Ignorance, man did not want to know God. Boy, that's something. Indulgent. Now we're down to impenitence. You're now at a place in your life where you surround yourself with people who condone your sin. You've given up on God's will, and you want people to say, yes, what you're doing is acceptable, and it's okay. Listen to Romans 1:18 and 20. But even as they did not like to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality. This is the longest list of sins in the New Testament. The longest list. Here it is now. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do they do the same, but they approve of those who practice them. That's kind of scary, isn't it? So here's the fall now. It starts with intelligence. You knew God, but you pushed him away. Be careful about that. You push God away. Intelligence. And we move from intelligence to ignorance. Man did not want to know God. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Number three, indulgence. After turning away from God, the only alternative is to worship and serve an image of yourself. By the way, those who practice a lifestyle called alternative want an image of themselves, a man with a man that is ultimate idolatry, worshiping and loving your same, yourself, ultimate idolatry. Would you agree with what I've said this morning? Come on, raise your hand if you agree. I mean, I'm just preaching the word of God. This is not Rocky Gale. I'm telling you what's happening is God is about to pull a cork on this world and drain all of this away. He is. And then the last one, impenitence. You're now at a place in your life where you surround yourself with people who condone your sin. Penitence means I'm sorry. Impenitence means I'm not only not sorry, but I believe that we need to love each other and on and on. All right, Daniel 5. As we close, take your Bible. We're going to go through this. And have you enjoyed being here this morning? If you want me to come back, say amen. Okay, now listen. Daniel 5, take your Bible, turn there. I'm going to show you it happened in Daniel 5 in the fall of Babylon. Number one, intelligence. I wish you had time to go through all of these. I don't. Daniel 5 and verse 22. Listen to this now. Daniel 5 and verse 22. Belshazzar's last night in 1 hour. In 1 hour, your wrath has come. In 1 hour, judgment has come. Daniel says, you, Belshazzar, son of Nicodemus, have not humbled your heart, although you, what? Knew all this. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected the knowledge about me, I will reject you, says the Lord. Ignorance. Man did not want to know God. Daniel 5, 1-5, Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the household. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines, might drink from them. Did he know what he was doing? Oh, yes, he did. He intentionally pushed God down. And then verse 4, he drank wine and praised the gods of what? Gold, silver, bronze, and iron. The same gods found in Daniel 2. Praise the gods. And in verse 5, in what? In what? Say it with me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In the same what? In one hour, your judgment has come. In the same hour. The fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall at the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Boy, was that scary. Was that scary. In the same hour, the very concept of drinking wine from sacred vessels taken from Jerusalem is an affront to the God of heaven. Number three, indulgence. They drank wine, praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron. They were the very metals found in Daniel 2 and Daniel 5, 4 again, they drank wine, praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, and iron. I want you to spend some time on this process of receiving the wrath of God. The last one, number four, impenitence. A total lack of conviction. I've already read verse 5, verses 6 and 7. Then the king's countenance changed, his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of what? His hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Christ is coming. He's coming so soon. If you've studied the way I have studied in the last 5 years, you would know how close we are. And I know you study like me. I'm no better than you. I'm not lifted up, but I'll tell you, the Savior's coming. He is. Somebody here may not have another day. You don't know. You may not have another day. I remember reading about a Seventh-day Adventist preacher preaching on the second coming of Christ. He was up front of the church, and he talked about how close we were to the end. He fell down and died right on the podium. The king's countenance changed. In verse 7, the king cried aloud, bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. Bring in anyone who can interpret this for me. And I'll tell you what I did in my Bible. One night, a year ago, I sat and I said, oh, Lord, this is so great. It is so great. Listen, here it is. Babylon mixes the common and the holy. In your life, you are devoted to Jesus. You belong to Christ. You have no business playing with the world. Number two, the whole kingdom was drunk with the wine of Babylon. At the end of time, Revelation 18, the whole world is going to be drunk with the wine of Roman Babylon. Number three, judgment's recorded on the wall. How's God going to do this? He may give you a thought saying to you, you're headed in the wrong direction, brother, sister. I want you to wake up. I'm so glad that God doesn't give up on us every time we turn away. Amen. One young boy said to me one day, Pastor, he said, I'm convicted every day. I feel terrible. I said, would you like me to pray for you that God will leave you alone? Oh, don't do that. Please don't do that. How many of you want the convicting power of God? Talk to me. I want it. Yeah, I know. I agree with you. Then we read down here, last few verses, 6 and 7, the king cried out, bring the best that we have. And you know what happened, don't you? Verse 11 and 12, and there is a man in your kingdom. Here's the judgment of God. Here's what's happening in the world. You wake up one morning and things are never going to be the same again. And then God is going to say to you, you read the writing on the wall. You studied my word. You know where we are. I need you to do me a favor and share the truth. There's a man in your kingdom. There's a woman in your kingdom. And then we read verse 12. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit. And what? What's the next word? Knowledge. Verse 12. Understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles. He's wise. He's wise. You get a chance to read Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Oh, my. Jesus quoted Daniel chapter 12, 1 in Matthew 24, 21. So here we are. Last part of it. Daniel 5, 23. And you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house to you. And what I have down here, judgment is recorded. Judgment is interpreted by God's faithful people. 5, judgment is applied pointedly to those who should have known the truth. And last, the penalty of judgment. This night, your soul's required of you. What's going to happen then? Fingers of a man's hand. They drank wine. Total lack of conviction. In the same hour, judgment came. Daniel 5:23, you lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They brought vessels of his house before you, you and your lords, and on and on and on. But the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Therefore, judgment comes in 1 hour, this hour. Babylon fell. Daniel 6:28, the Bible says, what about Daniel? Babylon fell. Belshazzar lost his life. What about Daniel? The Bible says in chapter 6, verse 28, so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian, all the way down and died no man. Would you say amen? What about God's people? They're right out there. They're on the front lines. I've only been with you for 40 minutes. That's all. That's not long, is it? Who knows? I may never speak here again. I don't know. Only God knows. It's been 3 years since I spoke to you. This is a picture of Dingo. Yeah, that's his name. The Smithsonian Magazine, which I get, is a picture of Dingo the war dog. Fantastic story. Rebecca Frankel always wanted to adopt a war dog. So in 2012, she went to Luke Air Force Base, and she saw Dingo. Now, Dingo had been with Sergeant Kitts in Afghanistan throughout Iraq. He was one of those dogs who could detect an IED. He could smell and detect that. And he was in his element doing that. He was, after all, a war dog. Well, they brought him back from the war, this war dog. And Rebecca adopted him from Luke Air Force Base in Phoenix, Arizona. She brought him home to her apartment in Washington, D.C. She said one night, right after she brought him home, he was laying on her bed. She woke up in the morning, every pillow in the house was gone, torn to pieces. For 2 years, she had to deal with Dingo. Are you with me? We're talking about how close we are to the end of this. She went to see her mother in Connecticut, took Dingo. She had already said, I've had you 2 years. I don't know what I'm going to do now. Dingo, I'm going to have to give you up. She took Dingo to her mother's house in Connecticut, and she had to watch him all the time. But listen to this. She brought him back to D.C., to the apartment she had shared with him for 2 years. He started sniffing outside. As soon as the door was open, he ran into his bed, and his tail went crazy. And I'm going to tell you what she says here. And when we pulled into our building, Circular Drive, I looked as he jumped down onto the concrete. His face changed as he reoriented himself to his surroundings, finding his footing along the uneven sidewalks and making a beeline toward the favorite tree spot. As we entered my apartment, he nosed his way inside, and then he pranced about dancing between the bed and the bowls of food. He danced toward me, his eyes filled to the brim with an expression that required no interpretation. We're home, we're home, we're home. I don't know about you, but we're living in a world that's been fighting God for a long time. I'd like to give you an altar call. I'd like to invite you to stand. If those of you who like special prayer, I want to invite you to come up front. Let's stand up, please. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to touch your life. If you'd like to come up and join me, please come so I can pray with you. You don't know about this world. Nobody knows about this world. We are at a time when we don't know about tomorrow. You know God's talking to your heart. I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to bless your life in a very special way. The roof is a little snowy now with a lot of snow on it, but I haven't changed all that much. Press right in here. Let me stand up. I want you to press right in so everybody has a chance. I want you to be here. Take a hand from somebody who's around you. Let's pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God in our life. Amen. Our Father God, we can't wait to be home. We've been fighting this world for a long time. Old habits are hard to conquer. We don't ever want you to give up on us, Father God. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from us. David talked about this, Father, in Psalm 51:11. Take not your precious Spirit from me. Now we pray. We pray for each other. If we have not been honest with each other, please convict us so much that we will make it right. Father, we don't know about tomorrow. We don't even know about this afternoon. Sutherland Church has gone through a lot of pain in the past. I pray your angels will press close, and we will sense right now the Holy Spirit saying to us, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who is thirsty come and drink of the water of life freely. Thank you so much for loving us, Father. Forgive wherein we have failed thee. Come into our lives, and we ask that thou might anoint our head with oil and our hearts with joy. Be with us now, we pray. We ask all these favors in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you for coming today. Did you enjoy being here today?
Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the promises that you have bestowed upon us here this Sabbath day. We thank you for Rocky to come and share what the Lord has inspired him to give to us.
Amen.
And we thank you for just loving us so much. And
Amen.
We thank you again that we can serve you because we want to be ready when you return. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.